We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, Tim Jones here, in for Mark Cox. Happy or I could say Independence Day Eve. Happy July 3rd. Tomorrow being the 4th of July, Independence Day weekend here. Yeah, listening to Mark Cox there talking about the some of the events this weekend. Those are all brand new events because we've had to kind of duck and dodge and bob and weave and figure out some things, because the things that I'm usually, I often do fill in for Mark around this time of year. And I was thinking of all the things I'm usually talking about, or the people that I have in the studio that we talk about, the Fair St. Louis and the parade and all the charity things and so on and so forth. None of that's happening this year. It's odd. A good friend of mine has this huge party every year and with a huge fireworks display, and they canceled it months ago. And look, so people are smart, right? I mean, yes, we got this another mandate, you know, another government mandate from Sam Page, the biggest follower in the land. I mean, Dr. Sam Page. I served with Sam Page. I never saw him as a leader of anything. He's not a bad guy. You know, he's an anesthesiologist by trade. So, you know, he and Dr. Fauci are scared of the sky falling every single day. But, you know, so all of Sam Page's Democratic buddies around the country started putting in these mask mandates. And just watch. Every time that happens, so like the blue states will start doing something, and then you can bet your bippy on it. Put all the money on red that Sam Page and Lyda Crewson are going to eventually follow suit. Not because of anything necessarily happening here on the ground, but just because their buddies are doing it. And he's just a big follower. And there's been no leadership coming out of the county executive's office. You can vote to change that on August 4th. Now, there's not much to honestly vote on the Republican ballot. And if you want to have a choice in November, and there are people running as Republicans for county executive in the county of St. Louis, I believe Paul Berry is running. Not much action there yet because, you know, that'll be a general fight. But for the primary, Mark has been talking about this as well. If you want to have choices, if you want to have a backup plan, you can pull a Democratic ballot and vote for a guy like Mark Montavani, who I've been very impressed with. And you can also vote against Medicaid expansion, which we talked about in our last segment. We're going to talk about a little bit of it next. Lots of news today. My goodness, I thought this was going to be a slower news day, but we've got the mask mandates coming. We've got cases rising around the country. But if you look at all the data and stats, if you actually look for the data and stats on coronavirus, you don't have to look for projections and modeling anymore, right? Because we've been now enduring this global pandemic for going on close to 4 months. And so we have lots of data, lots of statistics. We know a lot more about this new virus than we ever have. And we're going to continue to learn more. You'll see that ICU and hospitalization rates, except for some hotspots, are largely down in most of the country. Remember how big the United States is. And I know we get in this trap of thinking what a small world it is because how connected we are and the advancements in communications and telecom. But this is a gigantic country, literally, figuratively, population, geography-wise, 335-plus million people. It's a huge area of land. And we've got areas in this country where you social distance every single day by the nature of living in Montana or Wyoming or Idaho, or even states like Kansas or Missouri, which have extremely rural regions. And you can see across the country that death rates continue to be flat or down despite all this new caseload. Hey, we haven't talked about this at all. Chop and Chaz is no more. The Babylon Bee, which is a bit of a conservative, satirical take on like The Onion, right? It's kind of like the conservative version of The Onion. The Babylon Bee, they're hilarious. You should follow them on Twitter. They put up a meme today. These people, like, it looks like they're in downtown Seattle, and they're looking at this little encampment of all these little pup tents, and it says, Americans flock to view the ancient ruins of Chaz. Well, because finally, Mayor Moonbeam over there, who said this was the summer of love and peace, and this was just a big giant picnic, even she decided to finally take action. The police were sent in. Chaz and CHOP were dismantled over the last few days, and all the white woke liberals were told to go home back to mama's basement. So that happened. The jobs report came out, huge. Carl's been playing clips from Hamilton all morning because it's on Disney Plus.
Right
you
now.
You can check out Hamilton right now, as he mentioned. And as Brian has been telling you all morning, lots of sports are back or about to be back, including Major League Baseball. Whew, yeah, that's kind of the quick rundown. And we'll keep you up to speed on any brand new headlines. Oh, boy, the maybe we'll talk about this later, Carl, that Jeffrey Epstein case. Remember Jeffrey Epstein? Yeah, well, he's gone, but they arrested his architect yesterday.
She was the groomer.
The groomer, yeah. And what's her name, Carl? She's got a funky name.
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ghislaine Maxwell,
I don't know
yeah.
if that's the correct way to pronounce it. Brian, do you know the...
I do not. I'm just more...
disgusted?
Yeah. How did she survive this long at large?
Great question, Brian. And she didn't go anywhere. Like,
she was apparently a French citizen.
Yeah, she was apparently a French citizen, or she is a French citizen, or has dual citizenship.
Yeah.
She could have gone to France and probably gotten into another European country without an extradition.
That's what
agreement.
I was doing. I was talking to my wife about that. I'm like, why didn't she flee the country?
It's Ghislaine, according to Teddy says it's Ghislaine.
Yeah.
It's a French apparently was within driving distance of the feds who arrested her, right? So the whole thing's bizarre.
Hiding in plain sight?
And you know who does not want to talk about this at all?
Who would that be?
Senator Bill Engel.
I'm sure.
Bill Engel. Sorry. Bill Engel is somebody else, but Bill Engel is on the phone.
That's right. And he wants to talk about other things. So let's bring in Senator Bill Engel right now, the junior senator from the great county of St. Charles. He's at Bill Engel, E-I-G-E-L, at Bill Engel on Twitter. Bill, hey, first of all, I want to remind the audience that you are one of our awesome Missouri veterans. You served in the U.S. Air Force. So I know that this day, this weekend that we're heading into has very important significance for you and your family. Bill, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service in Missouri, in the Missouri State Senate, and happy Independence Day weekend.
Happy Independence Day to you as well and all your team, Tim. Happy to be here. It's a great sunny day, especially out here in St. Charles, where personal liberty is still alive out here because we don't have government forcing us to wear a mask and do a lot of other things that we're seeing down in St. Louis City and County.
Yeah, Bill, I always refer to counties like yours or even states like Missouri when I'm comparing them to like the People's Republic of Illinois as the free states or the free counties. So you are calling in from one of the free counties. Bill, let me ask you, I haven't talked to you in a while. How you doing? How's the county of St. Charles doing? How's everybody weathering this? And Bill, even without certain government mandates, I will bet the good common sense folks of St. Charles are being smart about the coronavirus pandemic, but yet you're getting things going again with your economy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, I think St. Charles County was one of the first counties to begin opening back up. And as St. Louis City and St. Louis County continue to add more mandates and to keep things closed and to strangle their own businesses, a lot of that business has been coming St. Charles County's way. And this follows a trend, as most people are aware, of business and people moving in St. Charles County's direction for the past two or three decades. So we have a low tax, low regulation environment that wants to see our businesses succeed, and it's become a place where people want to move to raise their families, to grow their businesses, and we're doing well. We're doing well. We're happy to be here.
So, Bill, I talked to a fella by the name of Santa Dolphson. I don't know if you've come across his path yet. He was in Jefferson City this past week speaking to a House Budget Committee hearing on the effects of Medicaid expansion, what those effects might be here in the state of Missouri. And Bill, it's a topic that it seems that the proponents of Medicaid expansion don't want to talk about. They only want to talk about one side of the coin, right, Bill? They want to talk about all the great new free stuff, the great... with all the great benefits that will be showered down upon Missourians if we just expand yet another massive government program that is already 40% of Missouri's budget. Boy, what could go wrong with that by expanding that? Bill, the other side of the coin is the cost and the effect on the budget. As someone who's been in Jefferson City crafting multi-billion dollar budgets, Bill, I think we're near $30 billion now, right, for the all-in money for the state of Missouri. Do you believe that this will have a fiscal impact if we expand Medicaid, and what might that be?
Yeah, absolutely. It'll have a horrible fiscal impact. So before we say anything else about Medicaid expansion, what we have to understand, and what I hope your listeners understand, is that the Medicaid program in Missouri and other states is the largest, most inefficient, most ineffectively, most out of control government institutional program we have in the entire state. There's no program that wastes more money right now than our current Medicaid program. In fact, we had a third-party audit from the McKinsey Institute come out less than a year and a half ago that said that the current Medicaid program wastes over $1 billion every single year. $1 billion of waste in our current program relative to how other states have tried to get around their Medicaid programs. And I'll give you an example of some of that waste. Right now, Missouri is the only state in the union out of 50 states that double reimburses hospitals who treat Medicaid patients who are not even from Missouri. So, for example, when a Kansas resident who's on Kansas's Medicaid program comes to Missouri and gets services at our hospitals in Missouri, Kansas reimburses it, and then Missouri double reimburses it. We're the only state in the union that doubles up and rewards hospitals for pay for receiving out-of-state patients. It costs us $200 million a year to do that, and nobody else in the country takes that kind of inefficient step. So just as it currently is, Medicaid in Missouri needs a ton of reforms. And without reforms to the current program and how the current program does business, it's already expanding to the tune of $200 to $300 million a year. At that rate, even if we don't expand it, it's going to be unsustainable and bankrupt within the next 10 to 15 years. That's what the politicians in the Democratic Party aren't telling you and aren't being honest with the people of Missouri. So then we get to, should we expand this program? Well, right. The program's broken right now, so the last thing we want to do is probably expand it. But if we do expand it, we will accelerate the bankruptcy of this program. And as it accelerates towards bankruptcy, it's going to block out other priorities of the state, like education, like roads and bridges, and all the other things that government has to pay for out of Jefferson City on its way to wrecking the welfare state that we've set up for some of the poorest folks in our state.
Yeah, Bill, as you point out, without doing anything, it's already expanding its own cost. And so by massively accelerating that expansion, Bill, I don't know how people with a straight face can say that it's going to bring all this money in. Bill, there's no Medicaid, there's no magic Medicaid pot of money, right, Bill? It's all
right.
It's all borrowed money, and the feds are backing out in other states, aren't they, Bill? I'm seeing stories from New York. We just had on Sam Adelson from Maine. States that have already expanded Medicaid are all in budget deficits now, aren't they? There is no secret formula of doing this in a correct way where it somehow is a printing press.
So I think we need to understand. Let's talk about why it's really being pushed to expand such a broken program. The organization that is funding the movement to pass Medicaid expansion is, I think it's called MoHealth. They're a political action committee, and they're getting a ton of money from one of the most powerful special interests in all of Jefferson City. That's the Missouri Hospital Association. Now Tim, you were speaker, and you know how much influence and how much effort the Missouri Hospital Association puts into lobbying and efforts across Missouri when it comes to politics. If Medicaid expansion passes, the Missouri Hospital Association and some of our hospitals around the state are expecting to see a windfall of more than $2 billion every single year. So when you hear someone say that this is about health practices, this is about getting people coverage, no, it's not. There's a special interest out there that's going to benefit literally billions of dollars if this passes. Now, I want to help our hospitals too. I think every reasonable person wants to find a system that will help our hospitals and put them on a better footing. But we can't help anyone if we're expanding programs that ultimately are going to bankrupt our healthcare system 10 years from now versus the short-term gain they're going to get from printed government money coming from Washington, D.C.
Speaking to Missouri State Senator Bill Eigel, at Bill Eigel on Twitter. And so, Bill, the choice is going to be either you cut something out of the budget, like education, which is the next biggest line item, the next biggest bucket of money. Either you cut education or you raise taxes, right, Bill? And as someone who I know personally, you have stood for tax reform, tax cuts, letting more Missourians keep their hard-earned tax dollars. That is a horrible choice and predicament that the Missouri legislature could find themselves in because of we put something that feels good on the outside into the Missouri Constitution.
Yeah, you bet. And, you know, I especially think about the Missouri taxpayer here. You know, right now, the Missouri taxpayer is already sending a record amount of money to Jefferson City. And, you know, they're sending a record amount of personal income tax dollars. They're sending a record amount of sales tax dollars. There's never been more sacrifice on the part of the Missouri taxpayer to fund the operations out of Jefferson City. And quite frankly, we need to do a lot better in how we spend the money in Jefferson City that we're getting right now, because our budget is now $35 billion, which has grown from $20 billion just back since 2010. Marvel. I don't know many household budgets that have increased by almost 100% in 10 years of the average Missourian, but that's exactly what's going on in Jefferson City. So with all this trouble of actually having all this spending going on, putting these kind of additional burdens on the legislature, that's a path to disaster. And if you're somebody that thinks that we ought to have smaller government, if you're somebody that thinks that we ought to be cutting taxes and looking how to reduce restrictions on the free market so that our economies can really start thriving, Medicaid expansion is the worst fiscal decision that the state of Missouri can make, both for its short-term fiscal health and its long-term fiscal health.
Bill, we've got a couple minutes left here. I want to talk about campaign season. We're in campaign silly season, and as we mentioned, this question is on the ballot in August. Folks, it's going to come on us really fast, and a lot of people have been worrying about everything but having to worry about political issues, but this is one that's going to affect everybody's pocketbooks. You're up for election this year. I can't believe it's been 4 years already. you know, what would you like to work on in your next 4 years if the good folks of St. Charles return you to Jefferson City, which I think they should? I think you've been the standard bearer for so many reforms. What do you think some of our most important priorities?
So I'll put out two priorities. First one has to do with the pro-life issue. Tim, as you're probably aware, a couple days ago, the Missouri Supreme Court came out with a decision that would try to force the legislature to pay Planned Parenthood public dollars and proceed with the public funding of abortion. So the first thing I'm going to file in January is a constitutional amendment that will prohibit public dollars from going towards Planned Parenthood. I'm the only person in my reelection campaign that has the endorsement from Missouri Right to Life, and it's because of stances like this, and it's because I was one of the co-sponsors of the heartbeat bill that we passed last year that prohibited abortion after 8 weeks, that I've been 100% pro-life. So that's the first thing I want to focus on. The second thing I'm focusing on is something I've been working on this past year and the year before, which is moving us away from the personal property tax. You know, Missouri is only one of 21 states that even has personal property tax. That's the tax that you pay every December 1st on your car and your trailer and your boat. And of those 21 states, we have the third highest rate of personal property tax in the entire country. So I've already submitted legislation, and if that legislation passed, it was Senate Joint Resolution 44. I'm going to file it next year. It would move us away completely from personal property tax. So if you're tired of taxes, I'd love to have your support.
You're the guy for that. Bill, thanks for all the time this morning. Bill.com. Bill, we'll talk to you again real soon, my friend. You have a great 4th.
Thanks, Tim. Have a good one.
Absolutely. We'll be back with lots more after this, including Chief Greg Brown, here on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is King George singing at Hamilton. Carl, this sounds like a very entertaining show. Did you like it? Is it as good as everybody says it is?
Yeah, when I reviewed it, when it came to the Fox a couple years ago, they said, how can you review a show like Hamilton? It's exactly what everyone says it is. It is impossible to get, well, some people might not like it, but it is what it is, and it is great. It is really good. And I'm glad you get to see it on Disney Plus today with the original cast. And this, Tim, I sang this song at karaoke last year, back when, you know, you could still do that at a Christmas party. This is my favorite song of the show.
This sounds great.
This is great. Jonathan Groff, and he's playing King George. And King George is the comic relief in Hamilton.
Oh, that's great. That's hilarious. It's like all of our, I think of shows like... Oh, what was the one they did? I'll think of it in a minute.
You know, Spam-a-Lot?
Spam-a-Lot. And you've got the old classic Mel Brooks, The History of the World, Part 1. And
right.
Stuff like that. Just classic comedy. And you know, I played the Trump clip there because, you know, we shouldn't be erasing history, right? And I hope Hamilton doesn't get protested next. But
well, they might, because some people don't like that it's people of color that are playing these founding fathers.
I'm sure they don't. And, you know, I mean, it's a great homage to history. And instead of tearing history down and pretending that none of it existed because it makes us uncomfortable, we should learn from it. I mean, there's a lot to learn from the early days of the country. Rough times. And, you know, if you want to, this sounds like an awesome production. And another great favorite of mine from this period is something I've watched several times. And that is the John Adams miniseries that HBO produced.
Paul Giamatti.
Fan-freaking-tastic. Some of my favorite parts, it's a pretty long miniseries. I think it was 10 episodes or so.
It's long because it's based on the book, and the book is huge.
Yeah, David McCullough, right, the famous historian, wrote that along with, he did one on Harry Truman. But anyway, HBO made a miniseries out of it, and the acting's phenomenal. Abigail Adams is, in my opinion, one of the stars of the miniseries. My daughter, Abby, is named after Abigail Adams, a very strong woman. And some of my favorite parts of that miniseries are the dialogue between Adams and his best friend, Thomas Jefferson. Because I loved it because Adams and Jefferson had very different views as to some of the things the young country should be doing, you know, the roles of the federal government versus the states, discussions we're still having today. And they vehemently disagreed on some of these things. Adams was more of what you would call a progressive. Jefferson was a states' rights guy. He was more of a traditionalist. He was more of a modern-day conservative. And I don't know that I'd call Adams liberal, but he was definitely more progressive. However, they were best friends. They remained friends until their deaths. They were exchanging letters on their deathbeds, literally. And so they did have a period of time, like every good friends do in their lives, where they actually did not talk for a while. They were extremely angry at each other. They were each president. And can you imagine? I mean, best friends who each become president, the founding fathers.
Well, that's because, you know, back at the time, the second place winner became vice president.
That's
and
right.
And so Jefferson was Adams' vice president.
Yeah, only so many people to pick from, right?
It was 7 episodes on HBO, and it's available on HBO Max or HBO Max. On demand.
Yeah, great, great miniseries. And my point on that is they had very vehement disagreements about these same issues we're talking about still today, the role, the size, the scope of governments, but yet they did it in a civil way and remained friends till the very end. And man, could our country take a lesson from that? Instead of sitting here and calling these two guys racist, yes, Jefferson did have slaves, right? I'll tell you what, though. If you know Jefferson, if you read Jefferson like I have, he's my favorite founding father, favorite president. You know that he struggled mightily with that. It was. You can't take today's morals and values and impress them upon something that was hundreds of years in the past without understanding what was there. Jefferson wanted to free everyone in the original documents of the country. If you watch the other play, Carl, 1776.
I'm not a fan. It is long and boring.
It is, but there's a part in there. It can be a little tedious. There's a part in there where they're in the upper room in Philadelphia, and it's Franklin, Jefferson, and Adams. And they're debating. They're debating whether to. I was like, well, okay. They're debating whether to free the slaves. And Jefferson's like, I think we should put this in here. There was a certain clause or phrase he wanted to put into the foundational documents. And Franklin, the Yankee progressive, was like, Thomas, I understand what you're saying. I'm with you, but the country's not ready for that yet. So
the South would not join if it was right. In there. That's you a whole thing in the play. Well, yeah, you wouldn't. Real life.
Yeah, you wouldn't have had a union. You wouldn't have had a republic. You wouldn't have had a country. It might have all stopped back then. Everybody would have just said, oh, we're just going to go our own way. And so before you sit here and want to burn down statues of Jefferson, you need to understand the man and the struggles. He had quite the internal struggles and strife through his life. And he ended up dying almost penniless. I mean, he just... Brilliant guy who had lots of struggles. Like, he's a human being, right? And so that's what we should understand. So yeah, watch some Hamilton this weekend on Disney Plus if you can. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and then come back with Greg Brown. And we're going to talk a little coronavirus and COVID-19 and how's St. Louis doing. You're hearing all these breaks, right, when we're playing the Big Fox. And it sounds pretty serious. And it is, but we all need to keep it in perspective. We're going to give you the perspective of St. Louis, the region, and Missouri from my very good friend, Eureka Fire Protection District Chief Greg Brown, up next on the Mark Cox Morning Show at 97.1 FM Talk.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, Tim Jones, in for Mark Cox, all morning this morning here on 97.1 FM Talk. Let's get right to our next guest here. He is frequent friend of the show, joins us frequently around this time of year, and then definitely in the fall as we head into Guns and Hoses and that type of stuff for our first responders. Greg Brown, the fire chief of the Eureka Fire Protection District. Greg, thanks for joining us as always, and happy Independence Day to you and everybody over at the Eureka Fire Protection District.
Happy Independence Day to you too, Tim.
So, Greg, I know you have been one of the great first responders on the front lines at the command level since this pandemic started. You and I were talking about this in late February, and you said, you know, it's going to be big. We don't know how big. We don't know what the problems are going to be because this is something we never experienced before. Now, Greg, we're like almost 4 months into this. Tell us, Greg, how did the St. Louis area fare over the last few months, and what is the current state of affairs in our region?
You know, you're absolutely correct in saying that, you know, we had no idea how big it was going to be, and it has been very big. You know, it's one of those things that you're going to know if you don't do enough, because it's going to be really super horrible. They've done a real good job of holding the curve down. I think that a lot of the actions that everybody took, you know, with the sheltering and staying at home as much as they could and wearing masks, I think it's done a really good job. And, you know, I think we saw that curve that they were so worried about, the hospital folks and the health folks. You know, I think we did see it flatten. So, you know, I think that went very well. And, you know, now I think as we're starting to open up, we're starting to see, you know, the cases come back. But if you look where, you know, we'd had the spike early in cases and now we're seeing another one now, the hospitalizations, you know, were a lot higher than they are now. And the people who are really, really sick and in the hospital, those numbers are right now remaining low. So I think that's why you're seeing our health professionals, you know, come back and say, okay, let's wear the mask, maintain the social distancing, because, you know, I think that was part of their plan was, you know, we've got to avoid this spike because we don't want to crush the healthcare system. And then, you know, people are going to have to get sick and sooner or later we'll find a vaccine. And I think we're seeing part of that now. You know, from our first responders standpoint, we've all been working together throughout the region, you know, making sure we're doing best practices. And, you know, we're also seeing, you know, the uptick in the calls for using universal precautions, you know, based upon signs and symptoms of the patient as we go in, because, you know, we're not doing those tests immediately out in the field. We're getting the people who need to go to the hospital to the hospital. And those people who don't, you know, some alternate form of care, you know, is being recommended. So, you know, I think things have gone well as could be expected. Certainly the concerns and the numbers that were being thrown around haven't been anywhere near met. But if you look at, you know, some of the places where it was really bad, like Chicago and up around the Seattle area, you know, I think that was avoided by the actions that everybody took here, and the health department people putting out guidelines and people deciding to follow them. I think you know, we've done a real good job with some of that.
Excellent summation, Chief. I got about 2 minutes left. We usually talk about so many events this time of year that are not happening this year, but the need to continue to support our law enforcement, our military, our veterans goes on. Is there anything that is happening, Greg, or that people can be aware of to if they want to help out first responders or our military vets on this Independence Day weekend?
Actually, you know, you can always make a donation to the Focus Marine Foundation or the Backstoppers. You go online and look up those organizations. You know, we are working towards, we're going to have some form of guns and hoses this year. We're working on that right now. Most of the other organizations are all kind of, you know, holding in place and not doing a lot of the gathering type stuff. But, you know, they can always use money because they're always trying to help people. And, you know, one thing, too, with all the tough talk that's gone on about our law enforcement, you know, the overwhelming majority of our people in law enforcement are outstanding professionals who are there doing the great things for our culture and our society. And we need to remember that, you know, there's in any profession, in any walk of life. There's maybe not as good people that get in there, but you know, the overwhelming majority, you know, 99.9999% of our police officers deserve our respect and our support now. And a lot of the things we see going on, talking about the police and the amount of police that are being attacked and murdered, you know, we need to support them, our police officers, all the time.
Absolutely. We give him a lot of trouble, but we love our Chief Wiegand in Eureka as well. He does a fine job, and you two work famously together and so well to serve our entire community. So I'm really glad you gave that big shout-out. And shout-out to that Thin Blue Line every single day. Chief, we got to run. Thanks for that great wrap-up on all those fronts. You be safe out there to you and yours, and wishing you and your family a very happy Independence Day, my friend.
Happy Independence Day to you and all your listeners. Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thanks, Chief. We'll talk to you again soon. That was Chief Greg Brown. We'll be back with lots more, including Paul Kirtman, U.S. Marine Corps retired and former state rep, after this on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.